Well, Lord, I'm a hard fighting soldier
on the battlefield.
Lord, I'm a hard fighting soldier on the battlefield. Lord, I'm a hard fighting soldier
on the battlefield.
And I'll be bringing souls to Jesus by the service that I give. Well, I've got a helmet on my head and in my hand a sword and shield. I've got a helmet on my head.
Never lost a battle,
and I know he never will. I got the word for my sword, and I got faith for my shield. And I'll be bringing souls to Jesus by the service that I hear.
And when I die, let me die.
Welcome, guys. My name is David Lightsky. I'm originally from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Anybody from the Midwest in here?
Oh, come on, Midwest is cool.
Awesome, for sure. I've had an opportunity to move about a little over a year ago to Burlington, Vermont. And I moved there to help with the campus ministry. It's been awesome. It's been great. I've been a disciple coming up on 5 years now.
Okay.
I'm just a baby in the faith, just making it. If you guys think you're old, and you're below 20, you are still young, so just be mindful of that. But I have the opportunity in here to share a class with my co-speaker, which I'll have her introduce herself.
Hi, so I'm Olivia Graham, and I'm a part of the Metro Region of the Boston Church of Christ.
Yes.
2 years ago, I moved from North Carolina to Boston to help lead the campus ministry in Metro. And you know what, guys? The first winter was a rough one. Okay, it was the snowiest winter in history, apparently. I felt like I was being hazed by Boston. And I survived the snowpocalypse. I, guys, am a survivor. I'm standing in front of you like a leader of God. But I went to school in a little beach town called Wilmington, North Carolina. Michael Jordan was raised there. I went to school there, and then, you know, I just, like, decided I want to go into ministry, and so I moved back home, and then now I'm in Boston. So, I'm just really, really excited about being with you guys. I'm really excited about the topic that we're talking about. I love talking about gifts, and also I love when other people share their gifts, and so I'm really excited, and I hope you guys can take away something today.
Amen, guys. Awesome. Give Olivia a round of applause. We are extremely excited about the topic, very passionate about the topic we're sharing today. But we have a goal in mind, right? I want you guys to lead with two convictions. The first of which is I want you guys to be convinced, to have a conviction that your own personal gifts are necessary to move the church forward. Second thing, if you don't use your personal gifts, guys, if you don't use them, not only will you yourself stagnate, stagnate, but the church will stagnate as well. And you'll have a deep sense of regret until you repent. So I want to talk about those two things, right? And I want to make an appeal to everyone in this room to put into action all of your gifts and talents for the glory of God to help move the church forward. The title of our lesson today for you guys is Each Part Using Their Gifts to Move the Church Forward. You can open up your Bibles to Romans chapter 12. The title of our first point is, we give our lives to move the body forward. Romans 12, it reads starting in verse 1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment that accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, but each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. And if it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. Right? So, a couple chapters before this, Paul is talking to the church. He's talking to the Israelites. Well, he's talking to the Roman Christians. He's talking about the Jews. He's preaching about their arrogance and their self-righteousness, who became convinced that their own superiority is what saved them. But by this arrogance, God's grace was allowed to come to the Gentiles. Can I get an amen to the Gentiles? That is us. We are the Gentiles. Maybe some of you guys are. I'm not Jewish. I'm a Gentile. So because of this, God's grace is allowed to come upon us, right? And the biggest theme, another big theme of this idea of these scriptures is that none of us deserve God's grace. Right? So I bring this back to what Paul was saying, what we just read in Romans chapter 12. Is he saying that in view of God's mercy, in view of this grace and what God's done for us, we should offer up our lives to God, right? To be unified in the body, to use all of our gifts, all of our parts to help move the body forward. And so why do I share this? What is my point? Why am I preaching this scripture? It's the same as Paul's, right? In view of God's mercy, right? But more so, what are our hearts? What are our lives? How do we offer our lives? Our lives are our hearts, our talents, our gifts, the things that we bring to the table for God. God wants us to give those things to him. But how do we do that? My question to you is, how much do you connect with the gospel and God's grace? You know, not only did God send his son Jesus to forgive us of our sins, amen to that, but he also gave us a kingdom that we can be a part of, that we can use our gifts for. And so when I think of, and this was me at one point, when I think of serving God, I thought I was doing it out of obedience, but that is something that I've learned does not sustain, does not satisfy. It just feels like commands that I'm following, but I learned that I'm doing it because God loves me. And out of that love, I have immeasurable gratitude that I'm willing to serve the kingdom and the church with my gifts. But how about you guys? Do you guys understand that? Do you guys understand how much God has loved you and at what lengths he went to go to save you from the life that you once lived? And are you, out of a sense of gratitude, using everything you have back into the kingdom? You know, Jesus talks about another part. We have to be kernels of wheat that die. He's talking about himself, but I feel the same thing for us. A kernel of wheat has to die in order to give life to thousands. He's calling us to do the same thing. We have to die. We have to offer our entire lives to the body, to those around us. We have to realize God wants to unify us, to bring change in the world. Right? We hear that a lot. To change the world. Do you guys believe that you can change the world? Do you believe that? You know, God doesn't need us. I think of other scriptures that talk about out of these rocks, God can raise up children of Abraham. God doesn't need us at all. He created the world in everything. He doesn't need us. But the fact is, he wants to use us. He entrusts us with gifts and talents, and he wants us to use those things to build up his church. And the thing is, if we're not willing to use it, our church will stagnate, and he'll raise up other people to do the work here on earth. We want to be the people who are bypassed by God's plan. I want to be a part of it, guys. I hope you guys do too. But we can change the world. You have to believe that. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. This is Paul again. We're going to read in verse 21. It says in verse 21, "The eye cannot say to the hand, 'I don't need you,' and the head cannot say to the feet, 'I don't need you.' On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. While our presentable parts need no special treatment, but God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it." You know, I share this scripture, right? Paul is talking about all parts are needed to work together to allow the body to function and grow, right? I think if the body is doing well, if people are doing well, they're using their gift, the whole body rejoices. If one part suffers, since the whole body suffers. I'm going to take you guys on a little trip with this illustration. How many of you guys seen the Magic School Bus? Raise your hand. Those of you who haven't, you guys need to repent. I'm serious, guys. That was my childhood watching the Magic School Bus. So for those of you guys who don't know, there's a teacher named Miss Frizzle, just crazy, wacky hair, a pet lizard. And what she would do is she would take her students on the most amazing field trips on the planet. And off the planet. There's an episode where they flew out to outer space and went to Pluto, visited all the planets. There's another episode where they shrunk down and like even went into like electrical outlets and kind of like taught. She teaches her class practically, hey, this is what it looks like, this is how it is. But there's an episode I want to talk to you about, guys, about of where she shrinks down, kids get in this bus, they shrink down, get in this bus, and then enter the bloodstream of one of the students. And they're floating past red blood cells and all this stuff, so just imagine like, red blood cell, right? We know what red blood cells look like, kind of donuts that are not filled in, look funny, look shaken. She explains what these things are for, right? Give oxygen. We know we're in school, biology, whatever. And she talks about, hey, she educates them, cells die naturally at times, right? But I think what's cool is the idea of what I want to talk about is like, sometimes cells don't die naturally. Sometimes outside factors and outside forces cause the cells to rupture and to die. And this causes immense pain in the body. This is called necrotic cell death, right? And so what happens is outside forces due to like radiation, bacteria, viruses, it literally causes the cells to explode, causing so much damage. So imagine if this is happening in your arm, it affects the entire body, right? I played basketball a couple weeks in the beginning of the semester, and I sprained my wrist. And for like 3 weeks, it was taking forever to heal. And it hindered everything. I couldn't do what I wanted to do because just my left wrist was hurting, right? And so just this one part affected my entire body and what I did. In the same way, those little cells, when they rupture, it affects the entire body, right? And so I want to imagine you guys, we're those red blood cells in this body of God's church, right? Are we allowing outside factors? Are we allowing sin to disrupt and cause the body to suffer? You know, when we're functioning the way that we're supposed to, when we aren't functioning the way that we're supposed to, we are hindering, or at the very least, slowing the body down so that it can't move forward. But I think of our generation. Guys, I'm 23. I can't even include myself in your generation. When I think of our generation, I think we're a group of people who we have convenience at our fingertips, and we are very comfortable in the way that we live our lives. We have access to so much. I think of my phone. I have Samsung Galaxy, so I was like, okay, Google, and I can literally ask my phone anything, and it'll do all the work for me, but it's just right at my fingertips. But I think of the access to Netflix and video games. And brothers, you guys know what I'm talking about. He just went in on us in the men's class. The idea that that's not how God intended us to use our time. Right? We have to be people who realize that we're needed to make this thing go forward, to change the world. We need to step up and go forward. At this moment in time, I have to look at
Yeah, I mean, I just love, you know, what David was saying about the scripture, you know, bringing the connection to our human bodies and how, like, each part is used to, you know, build up the other parts and how one little problem with our body affects the entire thing. And I remember thinking about, you know, when I first moved here to this cold land called the North, my mom kept gently suggesting, you know, Olivia, I think you should start taking vitamin D. And by gently, I mean she started sending it in the mail. And then sending me articles like, this is why. I didn't read it until last night. So I was like, what does this matter? I mean, it's just seasonal, right? I mean, I get through a few months and without vitamin D, and I'm vitamin D deficient, so what? You know, but I realized, guys, I don't know if you guys realize, but vitamin D is like clutch for the body. Like, it affects a lot of things. And I will list five. Now, I am not a doctor, but I did do my homework. But number one, it helps maintain the health of bones and teeth. Yep. Number two, it supports the health of immune systems, the brain system, and the nervous system. That's a lot of systems. Three, it regulates insulin levels and aids diabetes management. Four, supports lung function and cardiovascular health. Five, it influences the expression of genes involved in cancer development. I never knew all this stuff. I never knew how one tiny aspect of our bodies basically affects everything else. Like taking vitamin D during the sunless days of our winter actually strengthens us and fortifies us. There are seasons in our ministries too. You know, sometimes, you know, we have a bunch of people and like this. Time is high and everyone's doing super well spiritually and people are coming out to all of our Bible talks. And then sometimes people graduate and we're left with what we have and maybe people don't show up to Bible talk as regularly. And so we have some seasons in campus ministry. That's just the way it works. But you know, just like vitamin D, sometimes we need supplemental health, you know, to strengthen and protect what we already have. You know, I want to give a shout out to a brother named Everett Winslaff, who is in our ministry. You know, Everett, you know, he graduated in May, and he has plenty of career options. He's a really smart kid, but yet he's choosing this time to use his time to help out with our campus ministry because we're what you call right now guy deficient, bro deficient, and he has stepped up. He's led Bible talks at Bentley University, which happens to be one of the only schools we hadn't seen a conversion at yet. And, you know, and he spends his free time by, like, giving rides to people, studying the Bible with men on campus. And you know what? It's really cool because last Wednesday, we were able to see this guy named Chris Hudson become your brother in Christ. He is a basketball player at Bentley University.
Amen.
And so God was able to bless the effort that Everett put in as far as not letting his, you know, just time to sit there, letting his gifts gather dust because he has all of his time off. But yet he used it to bring glory to God. I wanna lift up Rachel Wolf. She's in here. She is a sister at Wellesley College. And you know, she is one of the hardest working students I have ever met in my life. Okay, she studies neuroscience. Okay, so that gives you an idea. And she also plays the cello for her orchestra at school. And so, but the other day, you know, they had a day off at school. And instead of just taking a day, maybe catch up on work or practice her cello, I don't know what she does, or just chill, because that's what I would want to do. I just want to relax. She was like, hey, can I go with you to Framingham State to a different college and go share with you? Can I go and, like, just be a part of the Bible talk there? I'm like, yes, you can. And, you know, and God blessed that too, because it not only encouraged the disciples that are a part of that Bible talk, but she brought this guy that she and another sister met that day. It was the last guy they met. and he came to Bible talk. And it was so encouraging, and it was just because she decided to put down whatever she had and then give. And give what she had to this ministry. Give her time, give her courage for that day. I think courage is absolutely a gift. You know, I think that she harnessed that and she was able to see what God was going to do with it. He blessed it. You know, I'm so, so grateful that she does stuff like that and that other people do stuff like that. But she, you know, I share these stories to emphasize how cool it is, really, that when we notice needs, that maybe meaning that God is giving us a nudge. You know, when we notice things, you guys notice things, okay? You guys see the little holes in ministries. You guys see the problems because God might be revealing them to you. Why? So that you can fill the need. Yeah. You might be the person that has been given all the tools by God to meet that need. Because
yeah.
We can't just sit and just, you know, sisters, we can't just sit and criticize, you know? And so I'm so grateful for people like that who see different things. And I really feel like during those seasons, like whenever we choose to give our gifts, like God can take that, strengthen what we have, fortify it, but also build off of that and give us more out of that. So.
You can open your Bibles to Matthew 25.
Come on, David.
Thanks, Olivia, for sharing. Today is bury talents, grow nothing. Matthew 25, starting in verse 14, I'll read. If you guys see the red, this means Jesus is talking. I don't know if you guys know that. Jesus is going to say this stuff. It says, again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one, he gave 5 talents of money, to another, 2 talents, and to another, 1 talent. Each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received the 5 talents went at once. I'm going to read it again. He went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one with 2 talents gained 2 more. But the man who had received the 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received the 5 talents brought the other 5 and said, Master, you have entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I have brought you 5 more. His master replied, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness. The man with the 2 talents came also said to his master, Master, you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I brought you 2 more. The master replied, Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness. Then the man who received the 1 talent came forward and he said, Master, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown, and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here's what belongs to you. His master replied, You wicked and lazy servant. You knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. Take the talent from him. Give it to the one with the 10 talents. For everyone who has been given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You know, Jesus is preaching to Christians, disciples, and he's telling them before this, the context of it, he's like, hey, you guys don't know when I'm coming back. You have no idea when I'm returning. And so what are you doing with your time now? Right? We see these talents, we see these guys who are given large sums of money. It doesn't seem like they're given any instructions. Right? they're not given any instructions in this, but immediately two out of three instantly go and start putting this money to work to try to get more back. But you have one guy who decides to bury it. Right? We don't know why he did it. We don't know what his motives are. We don't even know what he did during that time the master was gone. It doesn't say that. You know, if we don't use our gifts and our talents right, I want to relate the money with the things that God has entrusted us with. Right? Whether it be courage, like Olivia was sharing, whether it be so many different things that you have that you bring to the table, to the body, what are you doing with them? You know, if we don't use them and are faithless, selfish, and lazy, we will not receive our hoped-for reward. You know, I want to take you guys back a little bit. About 5 years ago, right before I came to the kingdom, this might be hard to imagine. I was a very introverted, quiet guy who had no desire to hang out with people or talk to people, and this was something I would fear to do. Amazing idea. My idea was fun, was to sit at home and read books in my room all day long and play video games. This was literally what I loved to do. I didn't like to socialize, I didn't like to interact with people. So God coming into the kingdom, like learning about God, he's completely transformed and changed my life. Made me extroverted. I love hanging out with people. I love getting together with people. I'm starting to learn to love to preach, which is awesome. Amen. But what did I do with my talents, guys? And so I want you guys to imagine, I'm going to show you guys what I was like in the campus ministry, right? So I had less facial hair. I don't have much now, but I want you guys to imagine it. And I had long hair down to my shoulders. Kept it up in this huge ponytail. And so this was me. This was me, this energetic guy, super excited. The sisters, actually, it's funny. The sisters, when I finally cut it off a couple years ago, they stood up during church and clapped. they gave me a standing ovation that I finally cut my hair off. I didn't take good care of it at all. I just liked it and kept on to it. But that's stuff on a side note. But what did I do? What was my purpose in the campus ministry, right? We did campaigns. We shared. We did all kinds of stuff. I would share my faith during campaigns. I don't know if you guys do that, but we have goals and we try to hit them. I would share, but outside of that, I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't share my faith. It would be rare if I did. Right? We would have opportunities to serve. I feel like people back home in my ministry, they move all the time. All the time. All the time. It's like moving season. So campus will always help people move in, and I would serve. I would. If I was asked to. But other than that, I wouldn't do it. Right? Myself, my time was for me. And I used it. I was like still holding on to this. Right? I remember at the start of one of these campaigns, I was so excited to get on campus, but not to share my faith. I went to the gym and I was like, I'm going to play basketball right now, and I'm going to share my faith later. And so I go to the gym and I play basketball. I love basketball, guys. And not more than 20 minutes playing a simple hustle. I don't know if you guys know what that is. It's not even a serious game. I roll my ankle. And I don't know what God is trying to teach me. I can speculate. I think he was telling me, your priorities are wrong. You're way off base. You're supposed to be here changing the world. You're supposed to be here evangelizing. And you're using your time to have fun. Right? I was that idol servant. I'm talking to the brothers in here, the sisters in here who are the idol servant. I'm talking to you guys. What are you guys doing with your talents? Are they buried? You know, for me, I didn't want to let go of my time. What are you holding on to? What are you afraid to let go? You know, we said when we became disciples, those of you who are Christians here, decided to make Jesus Lord, we agreed that we would do anything, say anything, go anywhere, give up anything for God. I knew that. I knew what I was agreeing to. But I was like, God, I'll do all of that, but let me hold on to this. God, I'll go anywhere if you ask me to, but let me hold on to this. What is that but for you guys? What's stopping you from giving everything that you have for the body, from being that kernel of wheat that God is asking us to be? We know what God wants us to do, right? The wicked lazy servant, his own words condemned him. I know what the Bible says about laziness. I know what it says about a lot of stuff. Am I doing that? Or am I condemning myself by those words? I'm going to ask you guys the same thing. You know, how about your finances? How do you, yourself in luxury, to live comfortably while there's so many needs that need to be met? You know, what about your job? Do you choose work over meetings of the body? Right? I have the conviction, hey, I need to have these days off. If they don't respect that, then quit and get another job. Trust that God will provide. You need to be at the meetings of the body. What about your time? We talked a little bit about that. How are you using it day in and day out? This is something I struggle with. Are you using your time to invest in people, to invest in God's kingdom? Get together with each other. See how each other are doing. Is your time spent sitting in front of Netflix, catching up on your seasons? Playing video games, destroying people on Call of Duty, that's my thing. How are you using your time? Your friendships. You know, are they holding you back? You have friendships in the world that are stopping you from giving everything to God. Ask yourself that. You know, we have to be people who hate feelings of regret. Right? When I was in school, I would go through the semester and I would get my exam, my grades back, and I'd be like, man, I'm not happy with this grade. I wish I would have studied more. I wish I would have tried harder. I wish I would have went to that one class. Maybe I would have learned. I had so many regrets. I wish. Is that like that for us spiritually? Do we look back at our semester and be like, man, hey, I wish I would have done this. I wish I would have shared my faith with the person I sat next to all semester. I wish I would have made a difference at work with my coworkers. Do we have regrets? We have to hate this. You know, the Bible says in Colossians chapter 3 that work at everything as if you're working for the Lord. Right? Imagine God standing over your shoulder. Would you do the things that you do now? Would you use your time the way that you use it now? Me, no. But He is. He's all around us. How do we do that? Are we giving all of our hearts, the entirety of it, to the kingdom in front of us? The body that God has provided us with. You know, we have to repent. We have to repent of this. If this is you, we have to repent. And just watch what God will do. You know, I've had the great opportunity to answer God's calling, move to Vermont a little over a year ago. And it's been so amazing to see what God's done. The prayers that He's answered, getting involved in people's lives, it has truly inspired me. It inspired me to want to even do more, which is amazing. Right? I got some advice from a super spiritual friend of mine. And she was like, hey, you should pray 5 impossible prayers for your semester. I was like, you know what? It's a great idea. Let me see it. Let me try it. And it's so amazing to see what God is doing with those prayers. Right? Maybe you guys can do the same thing. Right? I grew up and my goal is to know God and make God known. I want to find men who want to change the will of God. That's been my prayer this semester. I want to find men who want to change the will of God. So when I'm going up and I'm sharing my faith with somebody, I'm like, hey, this is what I've been praying about. I want to find men who want to know God and change the world for them. Does that interest you? Does that strike something and stir something in your heart? Because then right away, they know what I'm about. They can answer that call or they cannot, but that's just what I've been. And God's been using that in amazing ways. You know, I want to ask you, what bold prayers are you praying? What leaps of faith are you taking to see what God will do? You know, how much are you serving your church, the people around you? How much are you reading your Bibles and praying? And doing these things, like asking God boldly, I believe that what we will discover will make us want to serve God even more with our lives. I have an immense sense of gratitude because we get to be a part of this amazing plan that He has for us. And we get to see it unfold before our eyes. You know, another idea of it, I love this idea, is that we can further develop our talents, the gifts God has given us. You know, I think of the idea, like, we all don't have to be song leaders. We all don't have to be preachers. We all don't have to be maybe great at serving our communities, right? God asks us to do those things, right? But you know what we can do? Maybe if that's not our skill or our strength, we can read through the entire Bible. Right? We don't need any skills for that. We can know our Bibles well. You know, have you yourself memorized the first couple of sentences? Right? Do you know the scriptures? Do you know how to lead somebody to do that, because you can be play an effective role in the body in doing that. Do you know where to find scriptures on baptism, on sin, on anger, on all these things? Do you know where to go to turn to those things? Because again, you don't need special skills to do that. You can develop those talents and be a more effective leader in the body. You know, lastly, in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, you don't have to turn that. I'm just going to paraphrase it. Paul says this. He's like, I became all things to all men. Right? That was his goal. I'm not like Paul. I don't know if I can do all these different things. But what I love about the body, what I love about the community and the fellowship of believers, is I can bring a visitor out, and I have the utmost faith and confidence that someone in our congregation can connect with them. I love that. I love the idea of that. Right? I love the idea that God's giving me a gift to be passionate about basketball. I love to play it. And so there's a guy here named Joe Boris, who's studying the Bible with him. Me and him get together on a weekly basis, at least once or twice a week, just to play basketball. So not only am I using my gift to hang out with him and encourage him, but you know what we do afterwards? We share faith with the people we play with. We invite them out. I use my gift to try to bring people out to church. It's something I'm passionate about. But where I used to be selfish and want to do it for me, now I'm using this gift to do it for God. You know, what about our social circles? Do we go to the same stomping grounds? Right? Are we sitting there, are we chilling, we do the same things day in and day out? Or are we trying to branch out, find new hobbies, find new people at those hobbies to invite them out, right? I have the faith that every place you're at, there's at least one person there. Because God determines the times and places that people need. There's at least one person there who needs to know about God. It's not everybody there. There's someone there who's going to accept that message if you have the faith to believe it. Do we stay in the same social circles? Or do we branch out? Do we try to develop our skills, our talents, and our gifts?
Amen. Well, I'm convicted by the fact that I don't want to bury my talents at all. But let me speak to the sisters who maybe possibly don't think they have any talents. You know, I'm going to go back to the scripture in Romans that we read at first. And Paul lists all these gifts, right? He lists prophesying, teaching, giving, serving. And I can either think Paul must have forgotten some gifts, or maybe I'm just not gifted. It's like, come on, Paul. Like, I don't prophesy. I'm not a teacher. And yeah, maybe these other things aren't just my thing. But it doesn't mean that you're not gifted and that you don't have any talents. You know, I think that for many sisters, including myself, you know, we can associate having gifts and having talents with being special, feeling special.
Yeah.
You know, we want to stand out and be unique and admirable. You know, who doesn't want to feel special? You know, beginning in my little kid's days, I was searching for what made me special. At age 4, I tried gymnastics. I still can't do a cartwheel. You know, I tried cheerleading. I tried basketball. You know, but I wasn't really good at being at basketball. You know, I wish I was a little bit taller. I wish I was a mom. But, you know, even, you know, David sharing about how he sprained his wrist and, you know, turned his ankle or whatever, I'm like, you would still be a 10 times better basketball player than me. Can't even do a layup. But, you know, even in high school, I tried out for all the roles and solos. I tried all these different things to try to figure out where am I gifted? How am I special? You know, and no matter how hard I try to stand out, you know, there is always someone, that one person that does better than you, that's like so much more talented. You know which sister I'm talking about in ministry, who like can make the best cards, is the most encouraging, and yet she can bake the best. Like, it's all of a sudden it's like, she's good at everything, and what do I have, you know? And I can think, okay, because I don't have that person's gift, because it's not lifted up, I must not have any. You know, and I feel like, you know, I mean, don't even get me started on girls that can sing, okay? Like, when they bring the whole congregation to tears, because they could just, and I'm like, what? You know, and I was constantly comparing myself, and I was convincing myself that my only real gift was mediocrity. Can anyone relate to me? academically gifted class. Who would even call it that? Everywhere else, everywhere I turned, I felt like I could, all I could do was blend in. What I didn't realize was while searching for these things, I was really searching for reasons I didn't meet God. I had to discover that it is by His grace we truly receive the most important gift, and that's His Spirit. But God wasn't done with me, and sisters, He ain't done with you either. Each one of you are invaluable in the kingdom of God. God's timing is perfect, and every good and perfect gift comes from above. Junior year in college, I decided to stop playing the victim, repent, and give God a willing heart to just be used. Why? Because there were only two other disciples on that campus. Why? Because there was no Bible talk. Why? Because there was no campus minister, and the closest church was over an hour away. But we decided to get together and get it together. Even though we had never led Bible talks or Bible studies before, we just went for it. We gave God what we had, and God blessed that. To the glory of God, by the time we graduated, we got to see our friends become Christians. We got to baptize them in the ocean 10 minutes away from our school. You know, and on top of that, God planted a church. He sent us help because we needed it. But God showed us that all three of us had what we needed to give back to Him. We had gifts to give back to Him. Isn't that nice to know that we have something to give back to God after all the things that He's given us? To God's glory, I brought the talent of initiating. I'm an initiator. I noticed that about myself. I'm the one that's like, let's go do this. I'm like so passionate about it, and I get everyone riled up, you know. And but as far as the planning and the organization, it's not really my thing. But, you know, and the other sister had a deep knowledge of the word. So every time we got together with somebody, I brought her with me because I'm like, if they ask me a deep question, I need you. This is your time. And then there's another girl who just had that art for hospitality. I mean, every time we walked in her apartment, it was just like clean, and it smelled like fresh laundry and apple pie at the same time. It was just nice to be there. And you know, God was able to use all of that, all those things that we don't think are gifts, all those things that aren't necessarily mentioned in that Roman scripture. He was able to use it because we gave it to Him. We gave Him our willing heart, and He revealed to us what our talents are. So maybe you don't know what your talents are. Wait a minute, because I think, sisters, that God wants us to depend on Him. God wants us to go to Him, but at the same time, He does want you to know what makes you special, because you absolutely are special. Anything else is a lie from Satan. You know, if God calls us to seek after the kingdom, I think our gifts and talents should too. You know, I'm thinking, okay, so what are some practicals? If you don't know what your gift or your talent is, what are some ways that you can kind of start making steps towards that? Honestly, as silly as this sounds, I took the Myers-Briggs personality test, but it's been amazing, eye-opening for me. You know, go through the tabs, all your strengths and all your weaknesses. And it actually is like, it's kind of creepy how kind of weird it is. Like, it knows you so well. Like, amen, we're disciples, so we can break the personality chain.
Oh, yeah.
And we're going to transform. But, you know, also, the first thing I should have said, pray. Ask God for discernment about what your spiritual gift is. You know, and then get advice from a friend, a sister, a brother in your ministry, and say, hey, what do you think my strengths are? Because usually people see us a little bit better than the way we see ourselves. Yeah. And so I think also, go to your campus minister or your leader or your D group leader and be like, hey, how can I use these strengths? This is what I have. This is in my wheelhouse. How would this be beneficial? Because you have no idea. You know, the gifts that some of the students in my campus ministry have, like organization, like I mentioned, being a calm presence to our ministry, someone who just helps organize the rides, like, those things are so crucial. And those things, if they fall apart, the ministry can fall apart, and then we're not really effective. And so I really want to encourage you guys, because when, you know, we give to what we already have, which is God's Spirit, and we give to God's Spirit, God will give and add onto your life, ministry, relationships,
Yeah, thank you for sharing that, Olivia. I think brothers, we can definitely relate with that as well, right? We know those brothers in our congregation, right, who I used to get, guys, I used to be really upset. I felt like I didn't have talents, right, comparing myself to the other brothers. Like, these brothers can sing, these brothers are preaching, leading family groups, all this other stuff. Like, what am I doing? And I can get down, I can get discouraged, right? But I do feel like, hey, asking the people in your ministry, hey, what do you think my strengths are? What do you think my gifts are? What do you think I can bring to the table to help in my own way? Right? I think there's this brother back in Milwaukee who wanted to encourage a certain group. He's like, I feel like there's a certain group in my church who doesn't get encouraged. And so he by himself with some advice planned this night just for them. Like games, activities, food, and he invited them all over, and they all encouraged one another. What a great heart to have. It's like, my gift, you know, maybe I just see this, maybe I'm gonna go after it. I think of another brother in Burlington, Vermont, right? He's like, we don't have a hope chapter. I want to learn how to start a hope chapter. And so he's been going to Reach conference classes and all that stuff. He's been getting advice, talking on the phone. There's an older married brother who moved in. He's always over at his house asking, hey, how do you do this? He's getting advice, right? We can do that as well. Maybe you don't think you have anything to contribute. I would say you need to repent of that mindset and really go after having a relationship with people who know you better. I can't tell you what they are. I don't know you guys. But people in your ministry can help you find that out, right? But I think, I don't know, I don't want this to be a down tone, right? God believes in us.
Right.
Right? Maybe we are those other people. God believes that you can do it. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here. Yeah. Right? Use the gifts he's entrusting you with. Believe in yourself. Right? So, kind of just to wrap it up, right? Together with all of our personal gifts, we can change the world. Right? I think growing up, I used to think, like, that's the only way your legacy lives on is if you make your name in the history books. Right? Think of like Thomas Edison, okay, invented the light bulb. Me personally, I don't care if he invented the light bulb. I love using it. I love that there's light there. Right? Think of the idea of the phone. I don't care who invented it. I don't even know who invented the telephone. But I use it. Right? I think all of that stuff is pointless. Right? To try to strive after get your name in history. Because after 50 years, no one's going to care who you are. Right? That doesn't matter, right? I think of the drive, some of you guys may have it, right? To cure diseases, right? I think that is awesome. I think that's a great heart and a drive to have. Go for it with everything. Right? I think some people, especially in the world, like, man, you know what? I want to stop world hunger, right? I want to eliminate poverty. Awesome dream. Right? I want to stop war. I want there to be peace. Awesome dream. I want justice. Awesome dream. You know how we can do that, guys? You know how we can change the world? I'm making disciples.
Yeah.
One disciple at a time. Hunger, gone. Poverty, gone. War, gone. Just by helping someone come to understand the Bible, what the Bible teaches about these things. We can literally change the world. We can make a difference with our talents. We have to believe that. You know, we have to be people who lay down our lives. Do you connect with the gospel message about Jesus dying for you? Do you understand what that means? Paul, in Romans 12, verse 1, he's urging and pleading with the people to understand this. I want to urge and plead the same thing. Study it out. Connect with God's grace and what he's done, because in doing so, you want to give up your life for the gospel. You want to give up your life for the people around you. To be that kernel of wheat who must die to give life to many. Right, and using our gifts and understanding those things, we have to unite as a body. We have to be humble. Don't see ourselves as better as other people. We didn't even talk about that. Right, but seeing other people's needs, like, hey, you know if they're better than me, let me serve them with everything. Because if everybody has that mentality, we're unstoppable. We'll change the world. You know, God, if we're sold out, if we're all in, if we bring all of our talents to the table, he will turn our lives, right? Our lives, maybe we're feeling regret. Maybe we're stagnant. And it would turn us into a full, growing, and healthy church that's only moving forward. It starts with you. It starts with me. Men and women who don't sit idly by and do nothing. But men who are invested and sold out in God's kingdom. God entrusts us with so many gifts. Guys, let us use them. You know, our points today were give our lives for the body to move forward. Buried talents grow nothing. I hope you guys connect with those points. Let us give our lives for the body, unbury our talents, and move forward. Amen.
Thank you.